Even I was telling you to eat vegetables is a sin.
Yes.
Is it?
What, to eat vegetables is a sin?
I tell you, I said reading is a sin. That I'm going further more than that. Why? Just have you patience with it.
What is sin?
I tell you. Sin which stands in the way to the realization of God, that is a sin. They are least sin and they are grosser sins. For instance, you kill a man, you're hanged. You kill an animal, you're simply fined because there's nobody is going to be hanged for that. You kill birds and insects, nobody cares for you. So why you find in the elements, in the lowest vegetable there's one element, fully developed, four are latent. In insects there are two elements developed and the others are latent. In birds there are three elements fully developed and two are latent. In animals there are four elements fully developed and one is latent. In man is all elements are fully developed. So it is comparative, you see. What the master says, live on the least thing, vegetables, you see, or grains, and become conscious co-worker of the divine plan. Only then you can be absorbed, you see. This is what you want. The other thing you were just telling, what is it?
Yes, must you become a celibate?
Yes.
You must abstain.
I tell you. I tell you. Well, it is said, life of continence is required. We must have continence. Life of continence. That's the control of our own senses.
Whether you're married or not.
Yes, both.
Both. I mean, if you're married, then you must abstain.
I'm going for the habitation here. I'm going for the... You're right. Well, look here. Those who are not married, they should be strictly celibate. One thing. Those who are married, what they should do? They should live up to what the scriptures say. What scriptures say? They say, married life is no bar to spirituality if conducted according to the scriptures. And what do the scriptures say about marriage? They say marriage is not a contract but a sacrament. It is God who unites. Let God this unite. It is taking a companion in life. You see? In wheel or row on this earthly sojourn to help each other to know God, that the highest thing before a man. One duty is of begetting children, maybe. Not 100% duty, you see? And they went so far, Christ said, husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church. So this is one part of the show, not everything, you see. But if you're given up to sensuous enjoyment daily, this and that is not healthy question. So, normal life, life of continence, as described by the scriptures, is very much required. Because, you see, this power is very much, you see, power that is basic of your physical body, your brain, your heart, everything, prolongs life, those who are celibate. But this is a very valuable thing, you see. It is how it is made. They say, from child, what you eat becomes child. From child is produced what is called blood. 40 drops of butter gives you 1 drop of blood. This is something, calculation they have made. And 40 drops of blood gives you fat. From fat comes the bones, muscles and bones. And from bones further it goes into the pit in the bones, you see. And from that this is the lost reserve which comes up. So it's a very valuable thing, you see. We must keep you feel very bad, you see. The more you keep it, the more you are given up, the following day you feel very not happy. Your spirits are down. So that way of married life is no bar to spirituality. This I have given the scripture, all scriptures say. Maybe one or two masters were not married, the majority of them were married, but they are not life as we have given up to all outward enjoyments. That's one part of the show.
But did not Jesus say that the true marriage is made in heaven?
Of the soul.
If? But not abstain is soulmate.
And they were?
Soulmate.
Soulmate.
Spiritual soulmate, yes.
Yes, that's right. We should, that is the ideal goal, that there be two bodies and one soul. That's it. True ideal of a marriage. Then the one dragging that way, the other dragging that way, and there is divorce courts there and this are open. Not that. Master says so, you see.
Wouldn't that be the mystical marriage, or the groom taking all?
Look here. Okay.
The groom, the one...
Well, look here. This is physical contest brought about by reactions upon what we have shown ourselves. Some are children, some are wives, some are husbands. These are reactions of the past. Why not everybody like that? So that you would pay out very gladly what we have done, you see. And about the soul, soul has to unite with God. That's the mystical life. Marriage. That's how the soul body remains here. Yes, please.
Master, what happens when you get initiation just before death?
Yes.
At that time, to work off the necessary karma, does that soul have to come back as another reincarnation or remain on the actual
planet? I tell you. Well, you see, that depends on the initiate. If when initiate is, he has got full faith in the master, he has resigned everything to him. This is such like case we do see, rare of course. You have faith on that, in that case, you see, or his faith is become so strong that that nullifies our reactions here, and master does not return to the physical body. If he has done something and has faith in the master, he is not returned. If he has done nothing, he has taken and not, even then, the soul is cared for, but that cannot go below the man body, because in man body only that seed can grow. This is the concession. If man has done less, not fully, and his desires have been satisfied, if only desires remain one or two like that, those are also satisfied before leaving. They are placed in the higher planes according to their capacity, and they proceed from further on. Not to return. So this is those who have been initiated at least beyond the capacity of coming to body again, man body, not go below. Those have done something and have got faith in the master, love for the master. Other things are satisfied even before that, in one way or the other. And such souls are placed in the planes to which they are fit. But for that, that is why in Jain we must develop in man body as much as we can. Because in man body we can do things in months, but we can do in years later on. The sooner we do, the better. So initiation is a blessing, because soul is cared for, you see. Because you have done advanced fully, you go straight up to the first plane, fifth plane, third plane, as they advance. This is about those who have not done anything and done little for them. Yes, sir.
There was no one, I mean, I'm not saying that you were just talking about, then there is no one of us without karma. We always have karma.
Generally, surely.
Always.
Yes.
There's no one that is, say, karma, without karma.
Every day we think that is a karma.
Yes.
The very thought is a karma.
Thought is a karma.
Yes, as I told you.
Yes,
sir. Yes,
the block is the five physical senses.
Yes.
The block is the five physical senses.
Yes.
When you recognize that you don't belong to the Lord of the world anymore and you rise, you try to develop to the other senses.
Mm.
However, Master, this recreation of the spirit makes us completely anew, and are we then heir to karma, even then?
When you are put on the way, you come in contact with the God into expression power, with the light and sound. The more you come in contact with that, the more you become desireless, selfless. That is as you escape pre-existence.
But then, in our meditation, bringing in the audible life current,
yes,
the music of the sphere,
yes,
the greatest thing in the world,
yes,
is not all music, vibration, music and color, it's all one light.
Surely.
Are we not light? Are we not in the universe really?
The whole world is vibration. See? When there are more vibration, first they say God made world and there were light. And from light proceeds the sound. There are also vibrations. We are in light, but our light is invalid by, as I told you. There then you will find that light and sound principle that is reverberating throughout all creation without closing your ears and without closing your eyes.
Then you are one with Him, and this is why all these revelations have, is it not?
Revelations commence when you rise above body consciousness, and they grow more and more as you progress. You see, be still, physically and intellectually, and know that you are God.
But then the responsibility of living it, of taking dominion,
yes,
of acting God, not being, just becoming God, but acting it.
First we have to be the lover of God. Love, you see, is one that unites soul, blends the what is a mystical marriage, becomes one later, ultimately. Yes, please.
Is there a possibility for any person while living on this earth,
yes,
to become a master?
Yes, I tell you. Last time when I came to the United States, the two children were put on the way. You see, they're small, 6, 7 years old. I asked them what you want. They said, we want to become masters. Right? I told them, you have been put on the way, you develop further, you may be selected as a master. It is God who selects masters, not the votes of the public. When he sees fit anybody, and some come as fit already, one principle is transferred from one college to another. Some are dwell in their own college, and they dwell there, made professors and their principal. So there is possibility. Each man is in the make. Each man has his own background. Some are more ready, others are less. It sometimes happens too. Man is in wait. He has dwelt already sufficiently. Well, he can be selected as a master. Nothing against. Every saint has his past and every sinner his future.
So many are called and few are chosen.
Yes, those who are given initiation. Many hear these things, they have no desire for that. Out of this, in any town, there are millions of people living, but how many come up for this thing? Very few. Because of God, it's God's grace only that works.
Finally, how can we know we're ready to take that trip to Nirvana?
Beg what? No,
Nirvana.
No. I see. Wait.
When will we know we're ripe enough that we have...
Oh, that's all right. This question was put
up.
I tell you. I reply to your question, please. Last time, I was just called before a television, you see, invited there. Some people, some heads of other religions, because they have a reputation like that everywhere, they wanted to just fail me in the presence of all those who have see the television. They called me, I never knew about that. There is one in charge of chief editor of a paper. The other was a bishop. The third was a Jew head. Fourth was an IMA activity. And fifth was one more. So 4 or 5 heads of different religions were there. When I did that, they were standing, all right, we have come to see you, all right, thank you. They Would you mind if we ask any questions? Most welcome. Don't tell me you are going out. We sat around the table. All right, tell me please. They put questions. All right, you put your question, whatever you had. They put questions. Then I replied. Then further, I told you if anything further, they put a further question, they were also replied. Later on, there were a round table common room conference, you see. Underneath, one was just asking that you put some questions, they were just racking their head to put more questions. But anyhow, last of all, it lasted about 1 hour, this whole thing, the television. Last of all, the bishop asked me, how do we know that we are the realized God, the very question you said. You see? Then I told him, if you've got pain in your stomach, how do you know that you've got pain in your stomach? You see? There's nothing outside to show you, see? Each man his own witness, testimony. You are understand, you see God everywhere, there is no place where God is not. Everybody is within you and you are in everybody. All froth and foam is over the sea and there is still water underneath. You dip in there. These are some examples to show. But how do we know that we know ourselves when we get pain in the stomach? They kept quiet and they said, thank you are right. And that television went out everywhere. That went to my name before the people. So this man knows himself best, you see. Others cannot get properly.
Master, when I say to my family, yes. Who would we please to sacrifice? They yes. Say yes. We love you, we'll listen.
Right.
And every time they have another excuse. It really is a good excuse. Is it my fault or is it because the Master isn't calling them to come?
Well, they're not ready yet. Mm-hmm. There's no hunger.
Mm-hmm.
You see, there's food for the hungry. Mm-hmm. Water for the thirsty. They'll never come up unless God's grace. It is God's grace. By God's grace alone, men can come on the way, not others. So they are not really left, that's all. By inducement, love them. This is not your fault, rest assured. Yes, please.
I have a question, sir.
Yes, please.
Judging by the outcome of this meeting and what people have been talking about, it seems to me that most people are more concerned about sins, their personal sins.
Yes.
Or crimes against God and fellow man. Now, some people are older than others here, and they have sowed more wild oats than others. They have sowed more wild oats than others. I ask you this question.
Yes.
Most people here are concerned about the burden of sin.
What is sin?
Or karma, what he calls.
Karma, I explained. What is sin? What do you mean to say?
Yes. Oh, no. The question I want to ask, sir, reverently, is does God grant any dispensation of grace to those of us who have been guilty of gross crimes?
Yeah.
Such as myself, I have killed hundreds of men. Now, according to the laws of God, the Lord says, thou shalt not kill. Men are put in a position and forced to kill. Is there any dispensation of grace that God extends to people who have sinned and they have become aware of their sin? And they are sorry for their sins, and they're trying to find God's favor in forgiving this sin. Now, is there any way that a man can be assured that his karma has been wiped out?
Yes, I guess it's right. There's now judgment and there's now grace. Both are there. If a lamp is burning, you see, always there's darkness underneath. If a bulb is burning, there's darkness above. both are the laws of nature. They are law of judgment and they are law of grace. So law of judgment is what you say, nail for a nail and tooth for a tooth. Then nobody escapes. The law of grace, which is dwelt by how I tell you. When you become beloved of God, the God in man is, because it is God alone who can give that contact with Him. He comes across by some person at whose home God is manifest. He follows Him, repents for his past actions. He takes Him under His hands. Don't you remember the case of Christ when one lady came up, lady of the woman of the town? He entered the house, you see. He washed his feet with her hair, cleansed with the hair. And the Simon over there, he thought, who had stained such like master as there, he was a traitress he became. Why has he got any cognizance with this lady here, little woman of the town? Then Christ, because they read the heart of others, he said, well, Simon, look here, and yes. Do you know if a man or somebody 50 talents, the other 500, and the man who has to take him for this boat, to whom he has done more favor? And he thought, perhaps he is a very overactive master. He wants to conceive his sin. Because each man thinks from his own level, you see. He said, yes, those of whom we have forgiven 500. Then he said, look here, I came to your house. You did not welcome me. You did not wash my feet. You did not offer me anything. He has come wept with a tear, saying, wash my feet, this and that. He says, well, I forgive thee, you for thou lost much. The law of grace too, you see. Because if you repent, fall down at the feet of God in man. It is God, you see. Well, if God can create world, in that case your reactions are nullified. You see? If, as I told you just now, who is there to forgive sins? Only God. God can forgive sins, is it not? God can. But the point is, in whatever plane we are working, we have to abide by those laws. When we rise above and become conscious co-worker of the divine plan, all reactions, as I told you, the karmas are bound up to this law of grace too, if we own it. Both are laws. Laws of judgment also. Then, no, you see, I tell you, sow a seed, there hen before and an egg. Is there any way out? No? There are seed before and a tree. So there's no way out, you see. When you become rise above these levels of thinking, you see, physical, astral, you see, become conscious co-worker of the divine plan, well, all seeds are burnt away and cannot grow. That's all it stands. If a father, suppose your son is there, he has fought with somebody, would you like to send him to the police? You slap him once to your own self, but you won't let him go to the police. Be interned, you see. There's something like that. So love is the greatest law. Love knows what? Keep my words. So they don't interfere generally like that, but those who are just surrender everything to Him, just say it. As I told you, both are the law. Law of judgment is there and law of grace is there too.
But Padre, a master can take away 4/5 of your karma when you become initiated. And then you're off the wheel.
I tell you how the tales of the karma, you see.
Yeah.
Law simply is there. That's another thing. But at the time of initiation, what the master does, as I explained to you before, future lays down a certain line of conduct. Present reactions, what they are improved, they don't touch it. They give back life to the soul. They become strong. Pinching effect is gone. And when they give a contact with him, the light and sound, etc., they become conscious co-worker of the divine friend. All previous karmas are burned up. This is all. His greatness lies in the fact we cannot rise above body consciousness. With little thought of his, you see, he raises his soul maybe 10, 20, 100 sometimes. All rise up and sit, give contact with God. That soul which is bent down, you see, under the burden of karma, that is raised. I think that costs him nothing. See, for motion, thousands of animals are other drink water, but will it be? I mean, diminished, no? So he's bearing the source, that is bearing the source of God, the God in him. Out of sympathy, love, sympathy is there, then you contact. But if that power is not there, how can you see the light of God?
Master, if patients die under a surgeon's knife, and as the surgeon gets older and more experienced and looks back and finds that he made mistakes, now because he's got to get practice and learn, and he tries his best, but
have those doctors made their karma for themselves, or is this the doctor? I don't know. As I told you, even breathing is when I explained to you. He has learned to see this anatomy, which you were to mean if I understood correctly.
Yes.
They apply anatomy on dead bodies. You see? When the soul is gone. On that to learn how to analyze out anatomy by surgery, etc. First of all, they apply on dead bodies. In the hospital, you find like that.
Mm-hmm.
And further, sometimes they have to kill little insects, some frogs, and this and that thing. That is a sin. But that sin is being committed to save higher life. You see? Higher life is a match. So that is sin, but there is no absolving, you see? Unless you become conscious worker of the divine plan, as I told you. So that is for something higher, you have to do something lower. That goes but for no selfish motive, but just to help other humanity to be fit physically. So that man body, which is considered to be the highest in all creation, you see, that should be maintained and he should know how to know God. From that perspective.
Yes, does prayer have any effect on karma?
Surely. Prayer which comes out of the heart, not set forms of prayer, I tell you. We are simply reverberated, you see, by lips, has no connection with the heart. The prayer which comes out of the heart, you see, heart becomes full of life and tears roll down from the eyes. That's the sign. Such like prayer in heart. That nullifies, reacts, counteracts. But how strong it is, that's your point. Everybody's prayer is not heard, because it doesn't go out from the heart. Simply professional cynical, like only, oh God, lips have to do nothing. Heart has nothing to do with it. Then such like prayer does not help. The prayer helps very wonderfully. Where all human efforts fail, there the prayer succeeds. But that prayer before should be before a competent person, in whose competency you have got faith. It is from a weaker man praying before a strong man. You see? So if you perhaps you read in Bible, it is comes there. Christ said somewhere, well look here, if you pray God, he may give you or not give you. If you pray God in my name, he may give you. But if you pray to me, you should have it. What is the difference between these three statements, you see? Because if you pray to God, we are not fully settled, there is a God. You simply say something with no motive or no ideal before you. You say if you pray God in my name, that is also not very strong faith. We are dependent to something else. But if you see the God in him, that must be good to you. That is good. Well, what is our problem? Yes?
What can I do to get away from all that bad thinking, whatever. Can't seem to concentrate.
You think there's a way when you come to a master, he gives way for that. Two ways. One, by self-introspection, keep a diary. The other, he gives a contact within. You see? Both things together help to make a man, even a robber to be saved. There's hope. And they told you every saint has its past and every sin in the future.
Hello, and welcome to the Satsang from Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you just heard was the final 30 minutes of a talk called Initiation is Like a Lesson, given by Master in Miami, Florida, on January 1st, 1964. Our reader this evening is Christine Clevenger. Hello, Christine.
Hello to everyone tonight. I'm reading Life is a Game of Chopar, which is available in the January 1972 Satsang Dash. Chopar is an Eastern counterboard game, something like Parcheesi. During a meeting with Madame Blavatsky, founder of the Theosophical Society, the learned professors of Lahore, then part of India, were most skeptical over many of her statements. A particular professor remarked, "Madam, what you are saying is a mere rigmarole and as impossible as flowers raining down from the ceiling." Madam Blavatsky calmly replied, "Professor, do you think that is impossible?" And at once, showers of flowers began to fall from above, and the table became covered with fragrant blooms. Naturally, the professors and others present were amazed. But Madame Blavatsky smiled and explained, "You see, it is all in accordance with the laws of nature, which are hidden from most of us as yet. Many of nature's laws are not known to the common man. For instance, one's length of sleep can be decreased by natural law, as much as you like, if one has the knowledge of that law. This also applies to the intake of food, which can be decreased to a bare minimum. One can decrease it to a single grain of rice, for instance. As for rest, actual sleep is normally not more than a minute, anyhow." When Prophet Muhammad was asked if he slept, he replied, "No, I do not sleep. My soul is ever awake, but my body sleeps." In meditation, when you rise above body consciousness, the body gets complete rest, and your consciousness increases. When you resume the body, it is recharged and gets a fresh lease on life. In 1912, I saw an interesting example of the use of nature's laws. There was a Muslim fakir by the name of Abdul Wahab who allowed no one to remain in his room at night. Yet he permitted me to come and go freely. In meditation, his body would rise to an elevated position, several feet from the floor. You must have heard also about the famous devotees Dhruv and Prahlad, who, it is said, used to elevate their bodies. It is purely a matter of knowing the laws of nature. If both positive sides meet, they will separate and rise above. Usually people have no knowledge of these things and term them miracles. But it is a wrong term. They are according to the hidden laws of nature. Many such incidents occur in the lives of saints, and if we also live as they do, and according to their instructions, we will also become as knowledgeable as they. For every saint has his past, and every sinner a future. One can say that whoever is a master today was like us yesterday. The man with an MA degree was studying in the first class at one time. So those on the first rung of the ladder will reach the top one day if they go the right way about it. The present conditions of the world are not at all new. Discord has ever been present in one degree or another. But it is the masters and other sages who see the condition as it truly is in this critical stage. This land of rishis and munis has ever been protected by the Lord and always will be. But nevertheless, upheaval will come, and for that the only answer is to love one another. Our religions are like schools and colleges, and blessed are they. So remain in your own formations, for when masters come, they all give the same advice, to sit together and try to understand each other. Guru Arjan Sahib was here at a very difficult time in the religious history of India, and during those drastic days, he collected the words of the true masters into a comprehensive omnibus, a work which can truly be called a banquet hall of spirituality. He named it the Sri Adi Granth, or Supreme Sacred Scripture, although it is now called the Sri Guru Granth Sahib. This monumental work serves as proof that although they spoke in different languages, yet all masters have said the same things and have given the same teaching to mankind, that all human beings are one, for God himself made man, giving the same privileges to all, so none are different. It is man who has made the religions and encompassed them in a variety of customs and rituals. Whenever masters came, they revised the ordinances to meet the mode of the age, thereby affording continuance of their missions. And as long as these realized souls were here, peace and happiness lasted. Unrest and unhappiness returned some time after they left this scene. For want of them, the formations which were made for a noble purpose dwindled down into stagnation, which resulted in deterioration. Truly, when we enter any religion, we join the army of God, and thus all become God's people, with no difference one from another. While the Master is here, there is right understanding that first, we are human beings, and also that each one is a soul in the human form. Furthermore, the soul's caste is that of God. Only he is the life sustainer, and we are all his devotees. As long as this right understanding was prevalent, man had right thoughts, which followed through with right speech and right actions. And peace reigned because of it. When man forgets this right understanding, the only solution is for the Master to come again to revive it. It is the saving grace. During the religious troubles of the Muslims and Hindus in India, Kabir, Guru Nanak, Guru Arjan, and others came. The need is nonetheless great today, for in those days there were principally two religions, whereas today they are numerous, one on top of another. But he who sees becomes one in thought. Regardless of language or mode of expression, whoever has seen the truth will say the same thing, for the subject remains the same. There is a hymn of Guru Arjan Sahib which deals with this subject, which I will now take. He said, "Get together and become one, my brothers. Put aside your differences with love. Masters think of all as brothers, being the children of God, and therefore all are brothers and sisters in God." Guru Arjan Sahib is explaining that our duality or diversity is the root cause of all our misery. And while this remains, how can we expect to be happy? One person's rigid thought against another's, this dogmatic attitude incites conflict. All variants should be removed, but how? For each one stubbornly sticks in pride to his own views and insists that everyone else is wrong. True understanding of one's religion is the only cure. For deep in each religion, one will find that every master's teaching was the same, for the purpose of helping man to come nearer to God. All true masters awakened mankind to the realization of oneness. When I visited Rome, I met the bishop in charge of the Roman Catholic Church's relationships with other religions. We had a heart-to-heart talk, and he said, "What can we all understand by sitting together? Cannot otherwise be understood at all. It stands to reason, if there are two charged bodies opposite to each other, there will be sparks. If they become blended in one, there will be no sparks. Sitting together in oneness avoids all that. What does it matter how many different religions, sects, or dogmas there are? We are all men and brothers and sisters in God, are we not?" This is a complete and natural relationship, which can never be broken, but we have forgotten it because when formations are made, the same good old customs corrupt themselves. The formations stagnate, and also the devotees of the formations deteriorate them. When this happens, another master comes to revive the pure truth. It is then discovered that he says the same as other masters have said. The very same message continues to be given to the same children, age after age. The world is a room wherein the truth dwells. But man forgets again and again. Guru Arjan Sahib's wonderful collection of the words of the masters is one of the world's most valuable possessions, for each one gave out the right understanding to all mankind. But on what grounds can all men sit together? Get together in God's name and sit in the Guru Mukh's company. What does this mean? It means that our attention should be connected to the Lord, each one of us. This is the goal of all religion. Our attention should be constantly directed toward Him, no matter what customs or rites we daily perform, for it is He who has given us birth, and we are all in the same human form. We are embodied souls, and God resides in each human form. The sustainer of all life. When any man prays, does not the thought go out to God? Put the attention on him more and more until even the body is forgotten completely. While the attention, even a minute part of it, remains in the body, the mind's directional attitude is divided. So the name of God is the only suitable ground upon which all men can sit together. And what is this Hari Nam, or God's name? Hari is the supreme name through which all creation came about. How does this help? In the company of the Gurumukh, whose face is turned to the Lord, who has the right understanding, who has experience of Him, and has become the very expression of that name, the souls can be directed to God. We are, in fact, all one in His name, although not as far as customs and rituals are concerned. And yet, if we look deeply into the customs and rituals, we find that the meaning and purpose remain the same. For instance, in Arabia, there is usually a dearth of water, and they say that the namaz, or Islamic prayer, must be read by first washing only the hands and face with water. In places where water is more scarce, people perform their namaz by first cleaning the hands with sand, which is called talmum. The meaning in this action is to be wide awake for the prayer. In India, where there is no shortage of water, they say that devotions cannot be truly performed without first taking a full bath. Again, the meaning is to sit in His remembrance fully awake and refreshed. In Sikh temples, it is the custom for men to enter with their heads covered, whereas in churches, gentlemen enter with bare heads. They are gestures of respect to the Lord, but are different in each religion. Customs also change with climatic variations, but all have the same purpose. That is, to show respect, to sit in God's remembrance quite wide awake, in a respectful attitude. Only in the Gurumukh's company can this single-pointed attention on the Lord, with all thoughts of the body and its surroundings abandoned, be achieved, and the duality removed. They asked Guru Nanak, "Who are you?" And he replied, "I am neither Hindu nor Muslim. Allah and Ram are the very breath of my body." But they persisted in their questioning, and he enlarged on this. "If I say I am a Hindu, you will kill me. And Muslim, I also am not." He meant that by outward appearances, he looked like a Hindu, and through narrow-mindedness, they might kill him. It also indicated that their idea of a true Muslim was one who paid attention to outer form only. We face the world always, even though our mode of dress may indicate that we profess to follow the Lord in a certain way. We may hoodwink the world, but no one can deceive the Lord, who resides in every being and sees everything. So, Guru Nanak explained that he was not their kind of Muslim. Then they asked, "But who are you?" And he said, "I am a puppet made of five elements called Nanak. Even the name Nanak is not specifically Hindu or Muslim. They pressed him further to think deeply and try to explain exactly what he was. And finally he said, a puppet of five elements in which the invisible is playing. Our real aim is to realize the Lord, He who resides in every being. With this understanding, we can have a sympathetic attitude toward each other. Then, who will be an enemy? It is a truly spiritual ground upon which we can all sit together in loving harmony. There is an underlying unison of which the Masters remind us when they come. In this age, Baba Sawan Singh Ji also came and he said, make me a common ground on which brothers of all religions can sit together. It is the crying need of the hour when there have sprung up many different branches and sects out of the few original religions. However, little opportunity is available to do this, for in the temples, you will find only Hindus, and in the mosques, only Muslims, and in the churches, only Christians, and so on. What chance do the people have for sitting together? There is so much narrow-mindedness. By God's grace, people have started mixing together a little in this age. Whereas before, one sect would dislike to see even the faces of another. So to sit together in the name of God is the only way and the only cure to eradicate all divisions. To be born into this human form is really a great blessing, for only in this form can the truth be realized. If all sit together without any attention on outer forms, the attention will rise and see the inner sky. How can this be seen when we are all imprisoned within four walls? Man is a social being and must have social bodies in which to live, which are called religions and which are already so many. In the word religion, re means back and legio means to bind. So the full meaning of religion is to bind our soul back to God. To remain in one's own religion is necessary. Otherwise, corruption will spread. But while in that religion, one should seek out a gurumukh, an awakened soul. One who has come into full realization already. Without such right company, right understanding cannot be gained. Meeting one through whom all dermat, wrong understanding, goes. He is our true friend. If you search the whole world, such a friend you will rarely find. Masters are also born into some religion or sect, but they rise above all forms and formularies and can see everyone at the level of the soul. Whatever the Master says is equally for all. When all men live as one, diversity and divisions vanish. All difficulties can be lessened by sharing them one with another. Each would share his food with one who is without, and we need not depend on foreign aid for food supplement. A man would eat a little less to share with his needy brother. Some time ago there was a shortage of wheat, and it was rationed by the government to appeal to everyone to give up one day's ration to help the others in need. Someone mentioned this to me, and I asked the people during satsang to give up one day's ration each. at my single request that day, thousands gave. Which shows that when all are sitting together in sympathy, need or misery as well as joy will be instantly shared. When woes and misery are shared, they become less. Wrong understanding or dogmatic attitude only tends to increase the bad condition. All differences, whether social, political, or religious, can be removed if all sit together in the company of an awakened person, in whose radiant presence all blend in harmony and oneness. When a person's spiritual foundation has been established and his soul is fed daily with spiritual food, anyone who comes into his contact feels uplifted and everything becomes beautiful because of his radiance. Without this upliftment, the pressure of life's misery weighs upon a man in full measure. Two kinds of guru come to the world. One is called an avatar, and the other a sant. But both do the Lord's important work. When they meet, both highly respect each other, but their work is different. The avatar is like a commander-in-chief, without whom the world would be in a topsy-turvy state. So his work is very necessary. He works at the outer level when man's righteousness is at stake, punishing the wrongdoers and rewarding the righteous. But the sant's mission is to unite man with God at the level of the soul. Whosoever meets them becomes at once connected back to God. When Guru Gobind Singh announced that he required an offering of heads as a sacrifice, how many people came forward to give their lives? Only those few whose spiritual background had been established. Actually, five in number. He did not cut off their heads, but made them his five generals in charge, and called them the Khalsas, true and pure disciples in whom God's light is effulgent. When the spiritual background is firm, no matter what happens in life or what a man must do, the spiritual strength remains. If the background is not developed, then temporary upliftment can be had. But it dies out. If Mahatma Gandhi achieved success, it was because of this spiritual basis. So sit together and share each other's joys and sorrows. We usually think only of our own comfort and advantage without even a care for others. And the result of all this selfishness is all-round misery, in the home and in religion too. O braves, adopt this means and repeat the name as given by the God-man day and night. When the end comes, you will not feel the sting of death. Follow the way referred to above, by which all unhappiness and pain of the sting of death will subside. Just try this for a while, putting all your attention into your meditation. You will forget your body and the soul will withdraw. Attraction to God can only be developed by full concentration on Nam. The man who learns to control his attention by turning it towards the Lord within acquires great power. The greater attention, which is God, through whose single word all creation came into being, is all-powerful, and our soul is of the same essence, and therefore has great power also. but our scattered attention has rendered us very weak. Single-pointed attention can be gained by turning one's face towards Him. Then outer thoughts will go, and even awareness of the body will not remain. At the time of death, what happens? The soul withdraws from all parts of the body and gathers at a place behind the eyes. Rising above like this, at will, drives away all fear of death, but this can only be done through development of love for the Lord. With such spiritual advancement, we see clearly a glimpse of Him in each and every being. Whom, then, would we wish to hurt or hate? How could we then covet the possessions of others, or squeeze the blood of our brothers for our own greedy gain? The Masters speak with brevity, placing the clear truth before us in a few concise words. Think of karma and dharma as a game of chopar, and you become the counters. I will end here tonight and continue at my next reading. I read Life is a Game of Chopar, which is available in the January 1972 Satsandesh. Thank you, gracious Master.
And thank you for reading for us, Christine. There were 58 people at this evening's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
Actually, the life is stepping stone to spirituality. We must be chaste. We must be honest. We must be forgiving. Forgive and forget. That's the only remedy for anger.